We're always glad to have you join us for the Word for Life radio ministry. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman. And as we take our Bibles in the next few days, we would like to address a topic from a passage of Scripture. So many times I hear people addressing a topic, but there's not a whole lot of Scripture. We want to talk about healing. Is it okay to pray for healing? Is my faith involved in healing? Does it make a difference how much faith I have? Or if I'm not healed, or if I die, did I not have enough faith? All these questions are related to modern-day Christianity. Now, we approach it from James chapter 5, where the letter has been talking about the various issues of how you can show forth your faith by your works. And so he winds up the entire book by talking about healing, sickness, going through hard times. In fact, he says, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Then he says, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now we're reading James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. Then he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Then I also want to call to your attention Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. The Bible tells us that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, we understand that it's not always God's will to heal. When God promises in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God, he included sickness in his all things. How much blessedness has come because of the suffering of Christians? Stephen, one of the first deacons, was martyred. And if his bones could honor the Lord in being broken, could not ours sometimes? As we look at Amy Carmichael and the amount of suffering that she went through, deepening her life and deepening her effectiveness. Now, as we look at folks in the Bible that were struggling with sickness, I want to call your attention to 2 Kings chapter 13. Here's Elisha the prophet. And it says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, wherewith he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha, on his deathbed, prophesied. He was obviously in God's will. He was obviously doing the work of God. But the Bible says that Elisha died. Verse 20. Elisha died and they buried him. So here's a man used of God in a tremendous way. In fact, you remember when he was going to be replacing Elijah? He asked if God would to give him twice as much of the power that Elijah had. It's really amazing to note that the Bible records twice as many miracles as Elijah did. He served under exactly twice as many kings as Elijah did. This man was a man of God. This man was a man that knew how to walk with God. But he got sick. And the Bible says he died. You see, it's not always God's will to heal. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. Now, we continue on with our study in 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he says in chapter 4 and verse 20, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Now, Trophimus was Paul's helper. You can imagine then that Paul kind of, you know, said, Lord, I really need Trophimus. Probably prayed for his healing. But apparently, he couldn't get God to heal Trophimus at this time. See, it's not always God's will to heal according to our plan and our desire. In fact, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 27 that there was another individual that was very sick and very active in serving the Lord. And it says that he was sick indeed unto death. Sick indeed unto death. His name was Epaphroditus. I read verse 27 of chapter 2. It says, But God had mercy on him, and not on him alone, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Then he goes on to say, in verse 30, Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. So we see then that Epaphroditus was a man that was so diligently serving God that he got sick. Now, that's what you call burnout. And he almost died. The Apostle Paul prayed diligently, and God saw fit here now to heal Epaphroditus. But it's not always God's will. We can call to mind the passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul was talking there about a man who was caught up into the third heaven. And as you read this passage, you begin to understand that Paul is actually referring to an experience that he personally had. And it says in the first few verses that he would be a fool to glory in what he had seen. In fact, he said, I can't speak of it. God just basically said, quiet. But then it says in verse 7, And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, to beat me with a fist is what it means, lest I should be exalted above measure. So here's the Apostle Paul, and he has been exalted, he's been elevated to the third heaven where the presence of God is and the throne of God. And you can imagine when he came back, boy, the temptation to hold third heaven seminars, you know, and invite everybody to come. Hey, let me tell you about the third heaven, you know, and how easy it would have been for him to have really gotten the big head. And the Lord knows the difficulties that we face. And so he sent him a thorn in the flesh. Doesn't say what it is. Not sure. But the Bible does say that the Apostle Paul prayed three times. Now, I'm sure that that doesn't mean he said, Dear Lord, please remove the thorn. Lord, I pray that you'd remove the thorn. Lord, it sure would be neat if you'd remove this thorn in my flesh. Oh, okay. No. I really believe that Paul earnestly begged God to remove whatever this thorn in the flesh was. But it said in verse 9, He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. In other words, once God said to Paul, No, I'm not going to heal. I'm not going to deal with it. He says, My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, the word grace means what brings joy and sweetness and loveliness and grace in your words. Whatever you and I are going through, whatever sickness we're going through, whatever disability we have, God says, My grace is sufficient. In other words, sufficient means enough to be content. Wow. Enough to be content. In other words, whatever you're going through, whatever sickness or disability, illness it is, God says, I will give you the grace to be content. Not constantly trying to change things or get bitter when things don't change or complaining, but just, Lord, okay, you've promised to give me enough grace to be content. And then he goes on to say, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now that word perfect means to add to a lack, to render it complete. So he says, yeah, I don't have a whole lot of strength. But he said, you, God, give me strength when I am weak. You make it to be enough. You add to my lack. Isn't it amazing what God will do when we come to him with all the pieces and we say, Lord, brokenness, that's where I am. But Father, if that is your will, then that will be my will. And so he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now notice then, he then starts to give a testimony. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Now, he's just said, it'd be easy for me to glory in my elevations, in my promotions, in my privileges. But he said, no, I'm going to glory in my infirmities. In my infirmities. My lack of strength. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now that's an interesting expression, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It means to take possession of me. So you see, when you're weak, God's power takes possession of the weak body, of the sick body, of the broken body, of the disabled body. God's power takes possession of it. So therefore, it's his plan. If his plan is not to heal, his plan is to glorify himself. And so God is looking for us to respond the same way the Apostle Paul did. Lord, I'm going to take pleasure in infirmities. To take pleasure in infirmities. Exactly how do we do that? What does that mean to do? Well, we've run out of time this morning. I trust that you'll join us in a couple of days as we gather around this scripture again. Between now and then, why don't you read it? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let the Lord speak to your heart. Weakness, infirmities, glory, take pleasure. You see, if it's not God's will to heal, it is God's will to reveal his pleasure, his power, and his glory. Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.